14th of May 2004, a platoon of soldiers is ambushed in southern Iraq.
Ambush! Ambush! Checkpoint, Danny Boy! Outnumbered, two men down. Request backup!
Received backup, deployed three warriors.
Heavy incoming!
Whiskey 2-2, 5 minutes away.
The 1st Battalion, Princess of Wales' Royal Regiment, is sent to help them.
Whiskey 2-2, approaching checkpoint Danny Boy. RPG and gunshot incoming.
I don't like it!
Just sit tight, mate, okay? You're gonna be alright.
Woody, listen up. Enemy are dug in. Your orders are to leave the vehicle.
Sorry, say again, Stick? You want us to dismount into that?
They've got two men down. They need help. And prep the boys for dismount.
What's he saying?
He winces before relaying the order.
We're gonna dismount and close with the enemy.
What? Here? Just us?
After me. Be quick about it, yeah?
The soldiers now walking briskly in a suit with an older man carrying a briefcase. Based on a true story, wearing worried expressions, they arrive at a building where a small crowd, including photographers, is gathered.
How does it feel to be accused of war crimes?
Trying wood.
The younger man exchanges a look with a young woman who's smoking alongside a jowly middle-aged man.
The boy at school said you were a murderer.
And that's what's upsetting you?
That is upsetting.
Come here, little man.
Say you know.
What?
Dad.
Bailey. I look like a murderer to you.
The inquiry's terms of reference are as follows, and I quote, to investigate and report on the allegations made by the claimants against the British soldiers on the 14th and 15th of May 2004. Corporal Wood, do you understand how matters will proceed?
I do, sir. Yes.
Anthony Boyle, Leah McNamara, Alex Ferns, Tom Vaughan Lawler and Tony Jones.
Okay, lads, you're on your own.
You ready for this? Rusty, you ready for this?
Yes,
fine! Let's do this! Come, go, go, go!
Danny Boy. The young soldier awakes with a start. He's in a king-size bed in an elegantly furnished room.
Do you get that thing? You wake up and you've got a bloody clue who you are.
No. Want me to tell you where you are?
Well, no, no.
Want me to tell you?
Yeah, go on then.
You were in London.
Yeah.
To meet the Queen.
Why is that then?
Because you're a hero and she wants to pin something on you.
He raises his head suddenly to kiss his young, blonde-haired wife, Lucy, who's looking lovingly down at him.
Come on, wee man, come on. Let's go find your mum. Well, here we go, come on.
She's in there, go and see her.
And you go, son. Come on.
Oh, look at her smart wee laddie.
Hey. All right, Bailey boy. How did you like spending the night with Nana and Grandad?
I want to see his mum. Did you forget your kicks?
What, is that a problem?
He's got great legs.
Look at my lovely boy.
He's our lovely boy.
Are you our lovely boy?
Are you our lovely boy?
Are you two not ready yet? Do you know what time it is?
Tranquillo. Dad, be honest. Is this tight? Is it straight?
Aye, straight. Come on, get a move on.
Oh, don't muss him all up. You took me forever getting him dressed.
Not after the same for Brian.
Wouldn't be the first time. Give that here and get your trousers on.
Right, that's it. Chop, chop. I'm putting you two in the clock. T-minus 10.
Brian puts on his khaki uniform trousers. Now he's in the back of a cab approaching Buckingham Palace.
"23 years in the army, son. It never took me to places like this."
The corners of Brian's mouth turn up in a faint, slightly bemused smile. As the cab stops beside the palace's front railings, he nervously brushes his nose.
the 14th of May 2004, Lance Corporal Brian Wood was sent to the aid of comrades ambushed under enemy fire at Checkpoint Danny Boy. In recognition of his leadership, courage and selfless action during some of the fiercest fighting in Iraq, Lance Corporal Wood receives the Military Cross for gallantry.
Father and son are jogging.
Come on, Brian, keep up.
He does know other stuff, but mainly his keepers.
Don't tell me they have a coach just for goalies.
But anyway, he asked me to be the one taking penalties for the goalies to have penalty taking practice. Because he said for me they could never tell where I was going to go, and also I could put it where I wanted it to go. Whereas a lot of the other kids just froze up when it came to the spot kicks, or looked to the keepers and lost their concentration. And he said...
Oh, okay, Brian.
Keep it brief.
Keep it brief. So, you wanted to come out running? Let's see what you're made of.
Yeah?
Yeah?
All right.
Young Brian struggles to keep up with Gavin, his dad, as they jog uphill through a field on farmland.
It begins with R, Brian.
Resilience.
Dad!
In the murky light, Gavin continues running uphill until he's a distant speck. Brian sits down on the hillside, a disconsolate boy alone in the wide open country. Now he's a young man in army uniform.
All right, Woody, where's your medal?
The army barracks is a hive of activity with men training, a squad marching, and vehicles buzzing around. Brian enters an auditorium through a side door. He looks up at the steeply raked rows of empty seats, then puts a sheaf of papers down on a desk on the podium alongside a laptop.
Sir, what's it like jumping out of a warrior under fire?
That's a good question. It's, Jono, right?
Sir.
Jono, I'm here today to tell you all about the realities of war. And maybe... one of the realities of war is it's not so easy to stand up and talk about it. And you're going to have guys out there who are making a big song and dance about what they did, getting their names in the paper. You know, good luck to them. You know, I'll let you make your own judgment about that. I've got nothing to say about that. But you know what I was focusing on? Yeah? Anyone? I wasn't thinking about being brave, being a hero or winning medals. I was focusing on destroying the enemy and keeping myself and my men alive. I was fighting my own fight. I wasn't worried about what everybody else was doing, all right? That's a surefire way to get yourself.
Corporal Wood.
Yeah?
At the side door, a woman in a red beret is flanked by two other soldiers in the same uniform.
Spencer.
A bemused Brian leaves the podium and walks over to them. They lead him outside.
I'm teaching. What's this about?
I just want a little chat with you.
A little chat?
Congratulations on the medal, Corporal.
You're going to tell me what this is about?
We will, yeah.
As they leave the building, Brian puts on his green beret, then removes it when they go inside another building.
You just take a seat here for me, please, Corporal Wood. I'm going to show you photos, Corporal, from the Battle of Danny Boy, from its aftermath. You tell us if you recognise anyone in them. Okay?
In the darkened room, a slide's projected showing a bearded man with a headscarf and a bullet wound to the forehead. Brian shakes his head. Another dead man of Arabic appearance.
And this one?
A man with a broken nose, then two in blindfolds.
What's this about?
Just whether you know who these people are, Corporal.
No.
Soldiers pointing their weapons at bound and blindfolded men. Looking at the photo, Brian swallows and his Adam's apple wobbles.
That's my unit.
Him? Do you recognise this detainee, Corporal Wood?
a blindfolded man in a red checkered scarf.
Yeah, I took him prisoner.
What was the manner of that? Do you recall the rules of engagement, Corporal Wood?
Yes.
So you took this man prisoner? Tell me about the use of force.
He gave himself up.
He was armed. Was he just a man in a field or...
No, he was armed. The CSM shouted, drop your weapons, and he did.
The CSM just shouted...
Drop your fucking weapons, yeah. You'd drop them, wouldn't you? You met the CSM.
Was he barefoot when you took him prisoner?
Yeah.
Did you plastic off him?
No, not at the time, no.
Did you offer him water?
I don't recall.
You'd have thought that day was printed on your memory.
It is.
Ryan's inquisitor holds him with a coldly hostile gaze.
So did you offer him water? Corporal Wood.
Did you? Did you offer him water?
Corporal
Wood. Or were you not there?
Abruptly, Brian gets up and walks to the door. Inside a tank, crossing desert terrain.
Sorry, say again, Stick? You want us to dismount into that?
We've got two men down. They need help. Approach the boys for dismount. Okay, lads, you're on your own.
You ready for this? Are you ready for this?
Yes,
fine! Let's do this! Go!
The unit leaves the vehicle and runs into the midst of a firefight. With smoke drifting across the battlefield, they take cover in a shallow trench. Ryan raises his head to scan the terrain in front of him.
Enemy, bridge line. We close with the enemy, we take position one, yeah?
But that's 120 metres away.
Right, he's firing us in. Five. Four.
They leave the trench and charge forward. Brian drops onto one knee and fires his weapon. The unit keeps advancing, pausing at intervals to fire. They reach the enemy's fortification where several Iraqis are holding up their hands in surrender.
Where'd the rest of them go?
They could be back any minute. Get the cuffs on. Position one. Not a scratch on us, boys.
British fighting spirit done that, mate.
Here we go, lads. Get in.
The unit poses for the photos shown to Brian in his interrogation. The middle-aged man who is standing outside the inquiry venue goes to a window to see who's pressing the buzzer.
Wait there, I'll be right down.
He goes to let in the group of young people waiting outside the office building.
Morning. This intercom and security in because of all the threats against us. It doesn't work properly. So I spend all my time running up and down these stairs. Won't be the nut jobs that kill me. The exhaustion. Thanks for coming up to the office to see me. It'll give you a chance to see the job the way it really is. Plus, I'm too bloody busy to get up to the university at the moment. Some of you will end up in big fuck-off law practices in the city with smoke glass and neck massages, but the vast majority of lawyers work like this. You'll need to get your brains around that. Right, straight through. In here. Come on. My advice is... go running. Do yoga. Start flower arranging. Anything to give you a sense of perspective. This job will eat you up and spit you out if you're not careful. Who wants tea?
Me.
Ah. What's your name?
Dina.
Sugar?
Two, please.
Ah. Oh, shit. There is none. Right, so you want to be human rights lawyers.
What's the first quality you're going to need? Got some sachets here somewhere. Come on, I won't bite.
Compassion?
Compassion, OK. Anything else?
Empathy?
A thick skin. You're going to need a thick skin. And why do I say that, Dina?
Because some of the things we might be
Because
doing...
people will tear you up. Politicians, the press, the establishment. It doesn't matter how clear it is to you that human rights are sacrosanct and you have a duty to protect them, whoever's they might be, other people will tell you different. They'll tell you you're a bleeding heart, they'll tell you you're naive, they'll tell you you're money-grubbing. Why do they say those things? Mush, why do they say those things?
Who, the...
Because now and then, you're going to have to tell them things they really don't want to hear. And here's one of them. British soldiers get away with murder. Who's heard of Baha Moussa? A couple of years ago, Iraqi lad worked in a hotel in Basra. About the same age as you lot. He's the father of two kids, aged 2 and 4.
He's dead, right?
He is now, yes. Brace yourself. That's him after a period at Her Majesty's pleasure. So, on behalf of his family, I respectfully argued in court that Baha Moussa, in British custody in Iraq, had the same human rights as any other prisoner in any other British jail. Doesn't matter if it's in Basra or in Birmingham. Anyone want to argue with that?
The MOD.
Ha! The Ministry of Defence. Very good. They did indeed, because it made their job much more difficult. But the High Court and the Court of Appeal agreed with me. British law applies wherever British soldiers have command. Anybody want to argue with that principle? Well, you want to be human rights lawyers, so I bloody well hope not. But here's my question. I tell you what, everyone, come here. Put your drinks down. Come round here. Come on, chop chop. Over here. Right. Here's Baha Moussa, face down in the dirt, with British soldiers all around him, with their SA-80s pointed down at him. That's you lot. Come on. SA-80s pointed down at him. Now, we teach our soldiers how to kill other soldiers in a war, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the judge found that Baha Moussa died as a result of 93 injuries incurred over a 36-hour period in British Army custody. I proved that case. But not one soldier was found guilty of murder or even manslaughter or unlawful killing. Is it right you guys get away with murder? Put your guns down. So how come it's me that's a disgrace to my country?
He puts his hands on his hips and looks around in angry disbelief. Brian's doing press-ups when Lucy comes upstairs carrying their toddler.
Bloody
push-ups.
He carries on exercising. Later, he comes into the kitchen in uniform and butters a slice of toast while Lucy's sitting at the dining table reading something.
I'm sorry if I'm buttering too loud for you.
Brian, I just thought you might call out to him or something. I've been up with him since 4.
Oh, yeah. I tried to get up with him, but he didn't want me.
It's gonna take time.
You want him like this, don't you? You want him all yours?
I'm not starting all that again. If it's a problem at work, let's talk about it.
She begins tidying up the child's toys. Brian leaves the house and crosses the street. The law firm's untidy office is in semi-darkness. The lawyer emerges and looks up warily at the CCTV video display. There's a lone man at the door.
Who is it?
That Phil Shiner.
Who wants to know?
David Monahan, I'm a journalist. You agreed to meet me?
Phil goes to the window.
Did I?
The Battle of Danny Boy.
Right. Right.
Iraqi farmers, apparently, at work in their fields when the Princess of Wales regiment happened along. The Bahamusa, you proved a single act of terrible inhumanity. This could be 20.
It's not a head count.
Footage of the dead bodies was filmed by Al Jazeera, and there are some trophy photos floating around, taken by British soldiers. The Red Cross demanded an inquiry within days of what happened. Military police picked it up, but it's going nowhere. Loads of inconsistencies in what they did find. Something stinks.
Make a program. Get it on the screen. Tell the world.
I intend to.
So why do you need me?
I don't need you, Phil. These people might.
Have you got any idea the amount of work this would take? How busy I am already?
Just read it. What have you got to lose?
David closes up his briefcase and heads off, leaving Phil looking resigned. Now Phil's jogging alongside railway tracks in twilight. He arrives at the office in his running kit.
Right, Phil.
Right.
At his desk in the gloomy office, Phil's computer monitors displaying the photos shown during Brian's interview. He's looking carefully at the grisly images. Having enlarged one of the thumbnails, he narrows his eyes and leans towards the screen fractionally. Now he enlarges the group photo of the unit, pointing their weapons at the bound and blindfolded men they've captured. Once again, he leans in towards the screen. Unhurriedly, Phil picks up his mobile to answer the call.
Mazin, hi. Yeah, thanks for getting back to me. That's right. Listen, I might need you to go back to Iraq for me. Something new. Same arrangements as before, only the scale of this thing could be huge. So I'd need you to track down witnesses, sound them out, and I'll meet them in Istanbul. Right.
Now Phil's looking at a photo of Brian at the palace, in uniform, proudly displaying his military cross flanked by his family. Deep in thought, he gently rubs his face. Now, with the houses upstairs in darkness, Brian's creeping out of a bedroom. He gently shuts the door, which displays the label Bailey. He pads down the stairs, swinging his arms jauntily, and goes into the kitchen.
He went to sleep.
Shh, he went to sleep.
Oh. You're a star.
Oh, come on. That's the first time he's went to sleep for me.
I mean it. You're a star. You're getting there with him.
Sleep, master.
Lucy's choking back tears.
What?
Nothing. Nothing.
Oh, babe, what?
You were like you used to be just then. When you came through that door.
Can't we have a happy moment? I just took my son up to bed. I got him off to sleep for the first time. That's me. I'm being a dad. I'm being a proper dad.
Well, I am happy.
Yeah, you don't look happy.
I was at the doctor today getting a prescription for sleeping pills. Every other night you're waking up not knowing where you are.
Yeah, well, no doubt about where I am before I'm waking up.
Okay. Come on. Let's talk about that. What's going on, Brian? You really think, don't you, that if you don't say anything's wrong, then nothing's wrong?
She throws her hands up, then turns her back on him. He looks pleadingly at Lucy.
I feel like you don't want me home. Okay? And I feel like it's every fucking thing I do is wrong.
Lucy leaves the kitchen. Now, Brian's sitting on a garden bench outside a house, his hands thrust deep into his pockets. Inside, Brian's mother looks across to his father. Tension is etched across both of their faces.
I don't know any more than you do.
In exasperation, Brian's father casts aside his newspaper and stands up.
Oh, we going on this run or what?
Now, Brian's pounding along a muddy track down a sloping field. Back at the house, he's in the garden stretching his thighs when his father returns.
I thought we were running together. 15 years retired, I am.
Not wind, you know it.
It wasn't cruelty I was teaching you, Brian. It was resilience.
Yeah, I know that, Dad. I got that, you did that.
Look, son. Your mother's worried about you. Is everything okay with you and Lucy?
Yeah, nice. You know, one minute I was in Alamara, and next minute I was going in through the door and seeing my baby boy for the first time. So, you know, it's gonna, it's gonna be.
As he looks at Brian, Gavin's frown betrays his tension.
You never killed anybody.
No. I never felt the need to do it. But if I had, I would have. I knew it was Northern Ireland, it's different. You couldn't tell who was friend, who was foe, and it's Northern Ireland. They're their own people. It's the UK.
You know, I trained for it, and I did it, and it works. And you think, fuck, you know, I'm alive and he's dead. And then after...
Gavin's expression softens a little.
You know we're here for you, right?
Yeah. And the RMP come knocking on your door. And...
The RMP? Are you kidding? A decorated war hero? Tell them to piss off.
You can't just tell them. They get your head in a spin, Dad. They get you start thinking what you did.
You did a good job, son. That's what you did. Hey. For 300 years, this family served this country. 12 generations. Those guys, they're right here with us.
Looking into his eyes, Gavin rubs his boy's upper arms.
Okay.
Brian? Aye, it's all right. Just doesn't like losing, that's all.
He's not the only one.
Come on. Let me go.
A flashback to the aftermath of the battle at Checkpoint Danny Boy.
Move! Get on the planet!
Get it! You're fucking mouth, mate! Shut your mouth now, boys!
I'll tell you right now, mate.
Get blindfold on him!
Where'd the rest of them go?
They could be back any minute. Get your cuffs on!
Blindfold!
We're good? Everyone okay?
We're good!
Boys, keep your hands down. Remember, two-way range.
Another soldier approaches Brian.
Is the battlefield clear?
No, sir. No.
Right. Leave the shower to your men. You come with me.
Reluctantly, Brian follows his superior, pausing as he passes a body lying at the foot of a rocky slope. The two soldiers are walking along a wide, dusty trench at the side of a road. They have their guns drawn as they cautiously pick their way along the rough path. Brian's walking a few paces behind his superior, whose head twists left and right as he scans the barren terrain around them. Suddenly, the leader turns and fires at a figure on the steep slope ahead. The man slumps to the ground. As directed, Brian takes the lead position and shoots a man hiding behind a shrub to the left of the path ahead. His breath misting in the cold air, Brian looks down at the body of the man he's just shot.
We're overcommitted, Woody. Back this way, come on. Drop your fucking weapons!
Sir,
put your fucking
here.
Hands up now!
Sir!
Now!
Here, Finn there!
Hands up! Get your hands up right now to me! You!
Arms.
He's going.
Come here.
To me now! To me! Do you speak English?
Hey there.
Kaluna Nujal Hanna!
He's clean!
Move! Now!
Go! Go.
Why did they do that?
Then why didn't they shoot us? Hey! Why didn't you shoot us when everyone saw you? What kind of soldiers are you?
They've captured a boy and a man wearing flip-flops and a red checkered scarf.
Go, go.
Keep going! No.
Lose your lives with a flip-flop.
Lose this again? I'm throwing it. In English, mate.
Farmer.
Farmer? He's a farmer. You're a farmer, I'm a fucking brigadier, mate.
How old are you?
Hey, 16. Hey, 16. 16.
Stay there. Get a move on. Go. Go.
Brian's colleague pushes the man along the boulder-strewn track. In bed at home, Brian wakes shivering and panting. Lying beside him, her eyes closed, Lucy strokes his bare back. He reaches over his shoulder to clasp a hand. Fills with two other men in an empty cafe, lit by a single strip of green neon. One of the men says to the other, maybe just tell us what you remember of that day. The man covers his eyes, sobbing, and after a glance from Phil, the interpreter gets up to comfort him. In another interview, a young man says, you can still see the marks on my wrists where they cuffed me.
Has he had his expenses?
Have you had your expenses?
His mother has. Istanbul interviews, day two, time, 9:30 a.m.
He was face down in the ditch. He could hear soldiers coming.
Take him back to the beginning, family set up and all that.
Chili al-Ayaltak, mother and sister hated Saddam because Saddam killed their uncle and cousin. All family happy to see British soldiers when they came, friends bringing freedom.
Does he work? School?
Chili على دراستك وشغلك.
كان عدي دوام بالمدرسة بالصبح وبالعصر أشغل بالمزرعة. وتاك اليوم كنت أروح أقطع العشب لأن البقر ما عندنا.
School in the mornings, farm in the afternoons. That day he had to cut fresh grass for his cow.
Did he have a gun with him?
Chinwiak Aslah.
Chan Andy Klashnikov لأنه أنا صاحب مزرعة بس لتخويف الذيب والقطع طرق.
For wolves, for bandits. Kalashnikov.
تبيت نفسي بالقعة.
Iraqi men in black clothes with guns got out of trucks and spread in the field near the farm.
ولما عجوا الإنجليز صار يضرب الرصاص وتبيت نفسي بالقعة.
And when the British came past there was shooting and he lay down in the ditch, face in the ditch.
بعدين جروني مسافش كلش طويلة وشمروني في السيارة مع الجثث الميتين الميتين.
He was bleeding, crying, asking them please stop. They drag him long, long way, throw him in the vehicle with dead bodies.
And what happened to his weapon?
إيش صار بسلاحك؟
كانش موجود معي.
He didn't have weapon.
He said just now he did. Kalashnikov?
Ish sar bil Kalashnikov?
Jan addi Kalashnikov bas kal bil bayt.
He had weapon, but only at home.
I need to know whether he was carrying the weapon that day. Ask him, because in his previous statement here...
Chan wiak slah bil bayt?
Walak ultillak kan bil bayt.
Here, he said he had it. Now... If he's going to chop and change, he'll be no good to me in the witness box.
اسمعوا مني. الجندي الثاني هات الرصاص في وجهي وحاول يقوس خمس ست مرات وبعدين هات أسلاح في عيوني وحاول يقوس.
صار لي ساعتين بانتظار.
بعدهم ما.
اسمعوا هات أسلاح في عيوني وحاول يقوس.
What's he saying?
He says he's been waiting 2 hours and he needs to eat.
Oh, does he need money for food?
I don't want this money. I'm not a thief.
No, he doesn't need money. I'm telling him we're not finished with this guy yet, but he's. Insisting.
Maybe we are finished here. Thank you.
Ash, but we're خلصنا.
يلا. انستنى برا.
Thank you. Please.
Shaking his head, the interviewee leaves. Phil offers a seat to the man who'd been waiting.
Please. And your name is
Hussein.
Hussein. And were you at the Battle of Danny Boy?
Yes.
And why were you there?
قلت إحنا مش مقاتلين إحنا فلاحين.
He is saying that he is
not fighter. I am farmer. Farmer.
Looking closely at him, Phil nods his head.
Come on in. The guys are out the back. Hey, you're all right. Yeah, just go through.
Nice one, Bailey. Keep bouncing.
A family barbecue in the garden of a small modern house. Brian's on the grill.
It's not like you, hanging back when there's meat on the grill.
I just take it all in, you know. A happy family.
As Gavin swigs from the can in his hand, Brian's looking downcast.
You know, I'm only here because what two guys did out there.
What, your mates had your back?
Iraqis. Could have killed me, but didn't. What sort of soldier is that?
Oh,
what sort of soldier won't even fire his weapon?
Ryan.
What sort of soldier was flip-flops and a dish dash?
Ryan. You might only be here because of those two guys, but you are here.
No.
No?
I'm here because they didn't do what I did. He said you'd have killed if you had to.
Gavin nods his head.
But that's for you to decide who's who. It's that moment decides for you.
The dead have questions for you, Brian. You need to answer them.
Gavin and Brian look down at the grill rather than each other.
Deep breaths, babe, deep breaths. You're doing great, babe, you're doing amazing. Deep breaths, babe, in and out.
I want my mum.
She's on her way.
I can't do this.
Yes, you can, babe.
You don't know what I can and can't do.
I do, babe, I know you.
In the back of the car, driven by Brian, Lucy exhales a deep breath. On a grey evening, Phil's jogging through an underpass.
It is our contention
British soldiers abused and mistreated Iraqis on the battlefield at Danny Boy and afterwards at their base at Camp Abu Naji. More than that, we believe that many of those killed, injured or detained were not soldiers at all. They were farmers there and innocent bystanders going about their daily business. We believe that the army carried out unlawful killings, perhaps up to 20.
Any questions, please?
So the Iraqis were executed?
That's what we need to find out. It's normal in that lawless part of Iraq for farmers to carry guns, but does that make them soldiers? British soldiers are held to high standards, and rightly so. I see it as part of my job to hold them to that. And in my view, there is powerful evidence that on the day in question, they let this country down.
So categorically, you're saying British soldiers killed civilians in cold blood?
What I'm saying is the Army's own military police investigation closed too soon. It wasn't good enough. And that's why we've called upon the government to set up a full public inquiry.
Brian's fine. Leave a message.
We don't want to be talked about in the same way as the Japanese in the Second World War or the Americans at My Lai. We need to get this all out in the open, and only a public inquiry can do that.
Several years have passed since the Battle of Danny Boy, and the Ministry of Defence insists the allegations are unfounded, but has promised its full cooperation.
It's a summons to a public inquiry.
While Lucy reads, Brian's looking into the garden.
This guy, Shiner.
Yeah, he's all talk.
Well, he's not all talk, is he?
It'll come to nothing.
Outside, Bailey's on a trampoline.
You know how you used to complain about me not wanting to know what you'd done? When you got your medal?
Yeah, I was always joking.
It's you I wanted, not your medal.
Yeah, I know.
Do you?
Brian looks puzzled and hurt.
Yeah.
Good.
Brian goes outside, followed by Lucy, carrying the newborn baby. Brian raises his hand to greet a car that comes rapidly to a halt outside the house. Brian's mum and dad get out.
Right. Show me that fucking thing.
Gavin, the baby. The baby.
Sorry, love. He's lovely.
As Gavin marches inside, Brian's mum hugs and kisses Lucy.
Give you a medal with one hand and knock your teeth out with the other. They accuse you of these things. Our own government accuses you of these things. When I say so, or what? The men are trying to kill you. In the Northern engagement you participated in, witnessed, or were aware of, I mean, which one is it? Jesus Christ. There's 11 counts here. You must have been busy, that's all I can say.
They probably sent the same letter to all of us, Dad.
Nah, no way. Look, in the course of clearing the trench with CSM Falconers and others, you were blah, 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 you. Nobody else, you.
The solicitors for the Iraqis are saying that they were farmers and not militia.
Are they trying to tell me you wouldn't know the difference between a farmer and a trained killer working for, what was his name?
Matara al-Sadr.
For God's sake. Public inquiry. The world's gone mad.
Soldiers and Iraqi detainees are crammed into the dark belly of an armoured vehicle.
Maya.
Brian takes large gulps from a bottle of water.
Listen up, new orders. We've got to pick up the enemy dead and bring them back with us. Intel reports person of interest in the field today.
Whose orders is this? No one does this. We shouldn't be doing it. Fuck this!
They think some local warlord is among the dead, so we're taking the bodies back for IDing. Faulkner picked us up for it. Right. I'll pick him up. You yank his trousers back up.
What? Who did all that?
Chain gun could do that. A 30 mil tank shell.
Killing someone's one thing. Picking him up after, looking him in the eye.
Tell you what I don't see. I don't see the village elders who sent those kids out here with rifles against a company full of tanks and warriors.
They fill the armoured vehicle with the bodies of the dead. Its mechanical door closes slowly. At home, Brian wakes in the dead of night and climbs out of bed. He's sitting outside, peering closely at a document in his hand that's illuminated by a small light. Lucy's come downstairs and goes to the doorway as Brian folds up the papers in his hands. The light in his hand illuminates the large tattoo of Bailey's name on Brian's inner forearm. Unnoticed by Brian, Lucy continues watching him as he crawls around the lawn on all fours. The light in his hand glows green against the grass.
Killing someone's one thing. Picking him up after. Looking him in the eye.
Hey, why didn't they shoot us? Why didn't they shoot us whenever we saw you? What kind of soldiers are you?
As Brian claws at the turf, then bashes his head violently against the ground, Lucy comes outside. With a figure watching from an upstairs window, she shepherds Brian back inside the house. Gavin pulls back from the upstairs window and stands against the wall with his head hanging. Now it's daytime. Dina's waiting for Phil when he arrives at the office with another man.
When the judges approved our judicial review, they slammed the military police and the Ministry of Defence for not going far enough. Took our side on every point of substance. Left the government no option but a full public inquiry. Listen to this, Patrick. It's not some Guardian editorial. This is from the judge's own ruling. In our view, the military police investigation relating to allegations of murder and torture was deficient. It wasn't fit for purpose. No major incident room. Failure to identify or interview relevant personnel. Failure to seize all contemporaneous records. Failure to interview the detainees.
Well, you've done an amazing job, Phil. No one's doubting that. Getting a public inquiry awarded is an extraordinary achievement for a practice this size.
But?
Yeah, but nothing.
So the eminent barrister's coming on board. Coming on with the legal team who, hang on. Where is it? How did the judges describe us, Dina?
They said we were greatly outnumbered by the Secretary of State's legal team, but persisted with requests for disclosure skillfully and with commendable determination.
Commendable determination, Patrick. Couldn't have put it better myself. That war shames our nation, Patrick.
That's not what the inquiry is about. Ever thought of getting a bigger office, Phil?
Having the walls closing in concentrates the mind, doesn't it, Dina?
That's the theory, yes.
Right, so, what have you got?
We, Patrick. We, come on. We've got 20 dead Iraqis taken off the battlefield.
Taken why?
Well, the army says they needed to ID the bodies, but our witnesses say at least some of them were alive when they left the battlefield.
And some of them were beaten and shot back at the camp after they were detained. More to the point, the army say they were combatants and the families say they weren't.
What are you looking for?
The trophy pictures.
Over there.
Shift your arse, Patrick. You're sitting on Exhibit A.
Public interest lawyers. Hi, Carrie.
Is that...?
Yeah.
Show these to Patrick.
I'll pass you over to...
Carrie? Oh, yes, I've got some
good
news.
So these are photos taken by soldiers on the day.
But I'm going to have
to call you
back. You
can see blood in soldiers' hands in this one.
Why did the army need to take dead Iraqis for IDing if they had all these cameras in the field?
Exactly. Yeah, Carrie, I'm going to pass you back to Dina. One second.
Hi, Carrie.
There were cameras...
Yes,
...everywhere. It doesn't make sense.
No, don't...
Look at these. Look at the condition of these prisoners. It's shameful. I interviewed this guy in Istanbul. He's willing to testify. He's just a farmer.
Almost all of them say they were denied water. They've clearly been knocked about. It's a fucking disgrace, Patrick. And it's our chance to expose it. Our duty to expose it.
Phil, that's another delivery.
Well, can you deal with it?
The Iraqi witnesses, what's your process there?
Vetted by my man in Iraq. If he thinks they've got what it takes, then I meet them on neutral ground in Istanbul.
The funding?
The High Court ordered the MOD to reimburse all our costs getting us this far.
Yep, door's open, come on up.
You know how many gallantry awards went to the soldiers at Danny Boy?
10.
And to a man, they'll be saying the Iraqi witnesses are liars. That the men they killed were soldiers. Shot in battle, no one was mistreated.
Of course they will. But you and I know what British soldiers are capable of doing to detainees. Baher Moussa proved that. And this is just as grave and important as that. Only more sprawling.
That's an understatement.
It's an uphill struggle, Patrick. I get that. It always is. There's 40 shipping containers of disclosure for us to wade through.
Signature, please.
This is the MOD sending us a haystack saying good luck finding the needle. Thanks. Do you want this job or don't you? Because as you can probably see, we've got a lot of work to get through.
We'll start with a sandwich.
Well, they've got crusts on, Patrick. Do you think you can cope with that?
Phil tosses a pre-packed sandwich towards Patrick.
You're struggling, Dad.
Are you having a laugh? I think I can handle a couple of suitcases. I'll put you through some proper PT, boy.
No, don't you be worrying, either of you.
I'm going to worry.
That's it.
Call us any time.
All right.
You're off.
Good luck.
Bye.
See you when I see you. I'll give you a bell when we get back. All right, Wayne?
Little man.
He loves that boy.
Hello.
Loves them both. All right, Hen. You heard what Margaret said.
Getting back for me. Getting angry at what's happening to him. It's not the same as getting him through it.
Gavin puts the suitcases down and glaring at Lucy, he takes a couple of steps towards her.
Are you trying to tell me how to father my son?
You've done a very good job of fathering him, Gavin. He's just like you. He's a soldier, like you. He keeps it all in-house, like you. He doesn't let on what's going on up here, and he really thinks that's working. He's like you. He's just like you.
She shuts the door in his face.
Point two, Charlie, eh? Point two. Is that the one you want to hear? Okay. Point two. That you've given an untruthful and or inaccurate account in suggesting that the Iraqis you apprehended had with them any weapons at all. You're incorrect to suggest or imply that they had been shooting at British troops. Three, any failure to report the misconduct or the allegations of misconduct of which you were aware is the direct result by you deliberately to conceal the misconduct of others.
From the baby looking up at Brian with wide eyes, to Brian looking down, eyes bulging at the man he shot. Now Brian's curled up on the floor of the baby's bedroom.
What kind of soldiers are you?
What's that?
So what was what, sir?
So you got a letter then, Woody? After the inquiry?
Yeah. I did, sir.
And me too. How's that sitting with you now, then?
I love soldiering, sir. I do, but... right now, it's... train you up, send you out to fight, then you get back for questioning. I mean, what's that about?
Yeah, they were firing at us. Yep, yeah, live rounds. And no, I didn't gouge anyone's eye out.
You had all that, too.
Still think about them days. Danny Boy and the rest. 5 years ago now, more.
I do, sir. Yeah.
Tough days. Punchy days.
Yeah. Immense.
Who'd you talk to about them days?
Prefer to just sort of... keep where it is, sir. For the time being.
You're shifting cargo, though, Woody. You sure that's a good idea? Ever thought about knocking on the door and getting some help with that?
I'm fine, sir.
You were just a kid then, Woody. But you're not now. Knock on the door. I did.
With his superior's gaze fixed steadily upon him, Brian nods his head slightly. Wearing a shirt with a broad, pale blue pinstripe, Phil's fidgeting with a ring binder's document clip.
Okay. Stress test. Their claims against ours. Dina.
The order's to take away the bodies. Everything flows from that. If they were dead, like the army says, removing them is unprecedented and needs a better explanation.
If they were alive, like the family say, then they must have been executed.
So who gave that order? No one seems to know. If the dead bodies needed IDing, why didn't they photograph them there? Instead of transporting them. The trophy pictures show that there were cameras present.
If you're an Iraqi mother searching through shredded bodies in a morgue 2 days later, you would suspect something very bad. Lots of unanswered questions.
Patrick, bit of balance?
Well, the inquiry will want to test the credibility of the witnesses. When did their injuries occur? How can anyone be sure they weren't members of a militia group? And the dead, too, for that matter.
The militia stuff. Neither side can prove that. That's our word against theirs.
Well, it's not our word, Phil. It's the witnesses. We present their evidence to the inquiry. We don't own it.
Very noble, Patrick.
Why did the military police drop their investigation? Incompetence or cover-up?
OK, what do we say to that one?
We say incompetence or cover-up. Anything else?
As I'm reading, I'm trying to put myself in the position of the army soldiers.
Useful exercise.
If you're fired up and you've been shot at and you're charging across a field and someone puts their hands up, where does the war bit stop and the arrest and restraint bit start?
That's the inquiry's focus in a nutshell. What happens after the war bit stops?
It's great. It's a grey area.
OK. It is. So, you're fired up. You've been shot at. You've taken a guy with his hands up prisoner. You live that grey area. You're in it. Maybe you knock him about. Is that what you're saying? Why wouldn't you?
I guess.
Well, here's your answer. Because they're British soldiers. They're trained to be better than that.
Right.
I mean, either they are or they aren't, right? Either they are better than that, or they're not.
Sorry to take this. Hello?
Yeah.
And...
Go on.
The arrangements we used to gather our witnesses. The fact that we've operated through a middleman. Some of the financial arrangements.
What?
Well, is all of that definitely okay?
We literally had no choice. Either we let the killings of 20 potentially innocent Iraqis go unchallenged, or we do what we did. What choice do we have? If we win, it'll all be forgotten. If we lose, it'll all be irrelevant.
Phil settles down at his desk and focuses on his computer screen. Looking disquieted, Dina steals an anxious look at him.
Kind of buy the coffee they have here. But if I leave my good coffee in the kitchen, everyone drinks it. I've had your statement typed up into the same basic form as the other soldiers. I want you to read it through now and say if it's an accurate reflection of what you told me. Let's have it out loud. There's a good chap. It's good practice.
Eyes fixed firmly on the document in front of him, Brian steadies himself.
I deployed to Iraq on the 8th of April 2004 in support of Operation Telic 4. I deployed as a Lance Corporal with A Platoon, C Company, 1st Battalion, the Princess of Wales Royal Regiment. This was my first deployment to Iraq. My role was as dismount commander, and I would rarely get out of the Warrior as we would be vulnerable to incoming fire. The plan was to go to the side of Trench 1 and take the enemy by surprise. The three of us returned fire in an attempt to suppress the enemy position. When I reached the trench, there were still four enemy combatants within it. One of them was shouting in Arabic. He had his hands in the air and continued to shout. I shouted back at him something along the lines of,
"Get your fucking hands up!
Put your fucking hands up." The detainees were grabbed by their clothes or arms and forced down. There was a large number of weapons. Once the search had been completed, the detainees' hands were plastic cuffed and they were blindfolded. CSM Faulkner took charge of the situation and said that he and I were to advance to Trench 2 to check it was clear. I saw an enemy combatant stand up and aim at CSM Faulkner, who reacted very quickly. Immediately after this, I saw another aimed at me. I fired two rounds at him and saw him drop to the ground. As we were walking back, two enemy emerged with their hands up. We had not seen them or been aware of them at all. It was lucky for us that they chose to surrender rather than engage. The order to collect the dead was an unusual order. It would be normal to leave the dead on the battlefield. I had not been in such a situation previously, and collecting the dead was a horrible job that no one wanted to do.
Along with other members of his unit, Brian takes off his blood-stained T-shirt and tosses it into a brazier where a fire's burning.
I was not offered any counselling when I returned from my tour. I do not recall attending any debrief at the end of my tour either. I believe the facts in this witness statement are true.
Brian's looking blankly towards the window.
Okay.
His solicitor leans forward.
Well done.
Lucy's arriving home with Bailey, who's pushing the baby's pram as she wheels his bike. Gavin's sitting in his car, which is parked outside the house.
Hang on.
Lucy walks over to the car. Looking awkward, Gavin winds down the car window.
Isn't he home? He's usually home by now.
Yeah, I don't know.
You haven't knocked.
Teeth gritted, Gavin turns his face to look at Lucy.
You were right. You were right in what you said.
Okay. Do you want to come in?
No, just get Brian out here for me, will you, love?
She nods her head fractionally and heads for the door. Gavin covers his mouth with his hand. He looks distraught. Gavin looks across as Brian comes towards the car.
Brian?
Huh?
Sitting in the passenger seat, Brian looks expectantly at his father, lost for words. Gavin looks away.
You know I love you, son.
Well, up to now, maybe, is that what you're saying?
That's just exactly it. That's exactly it. That's where Lucy's got her head screwed on, and me and you, haven't they? That's where she's exactly right.
Lucy, Dad.
Keep it all in house, keep it in the headspace. What's the fucking point, huh?
Bemused, Brian frowns and looks away.
I can see what you're doing, Brian, and you took your cue from me. And it's no good, it's no good at all. I shouldn't have done it, and you shouldn't be doing it, all that. Yeah, I'm a tough guy, bollocks, because that's what it is. Total bollocks. There's nobody tough, none of us. No me, no you, no Arnie bloody...
Schwarzenegger.
Aye.
Gavin bows his head and Brian steals a look at him.
You remember how I told you about my pal who got shot by the IRA, shot and killed by the IRA.
Yeah.
And how I got promoted to Lance Corporal because he was dead. Right after the funeral. He even gave me his call sign.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I will know you do. I didn't even think about it. I was 20 years old. But see, later, that gnawed at me. It gnawed at me. You know, his dying and me just stepping up and saying to the major, aye, sure, give me his stripes. I'll take his call sign. It's like I wiped him off the record. No thought about anything else. Just got to get these tapes sewed on. That was it. But he found his way back in. And rightly so. There's never been a day from that moment to this that I haven't thought about him. But did I tell anybody?
What? That?
You know what? You know what it felt like? It felt like I had to live my life and his. That's what it felt like. That's what I meant when I said the dead have questions for you. You see, when you join the army, you're part of something massive, you know, we're all in this together. But see, when it comes to the knocks you take, we're all a closed book.
Okay.
I'm not a good example, Brian. And that hurts me. It hurts me to see you following that example.
Okay, come in now, Dad, come on.
No. I've said what I came to say.
With a sigh, Brian gets out of the car. Gavin winces as the door slams shut.
I couldn't be more proud of you, son. I couldn't be more proud of you. It's me and my Shemda. For not saying it to you sooner. I said to your mother, I said, I couldn't even contemplate. Aye, sure, I served 23 years, but I can't even contemplate what my son went through. I'm in awe of that. I've no experience of that. And that hurts as a father. I sent you places I've never been.
Gavin marches back to the car.
You were there, Dad. You were there.
Brian goes back into the house and Gavin drives away. Lucy's playing with Bailey in the back garden.
Oh, no!
What'd you say to him?
I said he should tell you what was on his mind. And did he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's a good start then, isn't it?
Yeah. Right, Bailey boy. You beat your mum, and you beat your dad. That's a good shot. And again. Oh!
Young Brian trailing behind his father as he's running up the hill.
Dad! Bastard!
Young Bailey's left standing alone on the hillside in the enveloping mist and gloom.
Public inquiry opens today into some of the most serious allegations to have emerged from the Iraq War. It'll examine claims that British troops murdered up to 20 Iraqis following a gun battle in 2004 and that 9 detainees were mistreated.
The inquiry is expected to last for around a year.
Thank you.
Just a few last minute thoughts.
Thank you. Oh, even more last minute than your 2 a.m. email.
The inquiry's terms of reference are as follows, and I quote,
to investigate and report on the allegations made by the claimants against the British soldiers. It is also necessary to examine the broad circumstances of the battle, the conduct and the actions of the soldiers and Iraqis involved, and the manner and cause of death.
Why is this inquiry taking place? This is a legitimate question for all participants to ask in light of the public expense and resources inevitably involved. There's a clear answer, and that is because of the credible allegations of unlawful killing by British soldiers of Iraqi civilians.
Tank chaser.
You care to repeat that?
Why'd you hate us so much, Mr. Shiner?
I've represented more soldiers than any other lawyer in the country.
Disaffected soldiers, maybe.
Is there any other kind, really, in the end?
Phil looks around, then descends some marble steps. Brian's in Bailey's bedroom.
The boy at school says you were a murderer.
And that's what's upsetting you?
That is upsetting.
What'd you say?
He didn't say it to me. He just said it.
Well, he must have said it to somebody.
Brian sits down on the bed and puts his arm around Bailey.
Come here, little man.
Say you're not.
No more.
Dad.
Bailey. Do I look like a murderer to you? Hmm? Come on, get to bed.
A new day. Brian's getting dressed when Lucy comes into the bedroom and strokes his behind.
Did you forget your cakes?
No problem.
She sits down on the bed behind him.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Sure you don't want me to come?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'll be fine.
I'll be thinking about you.
Babe, I'm taking Bailey to school before I go to London.
Okay.
Now Brian's tied his striped military tie. Lucy hands him his suit trousers.
Shit. Yo, let's get a move on.
Hey, be good for your mum now, little man. Yeah?
Then you. Be good for me too.
Oh, yeah. Be as good as gold, babe. Yo.
Love you. Good day.
Brian's walking with Bailey.
So, someone at school said that I was a murderer, yeah? And do you think they'd say that to my face? No? Why not?
Because you're bigger than them.
Yeah? And who's bigger? Them or you?
Them.
Yeah.
Don't come to school, Dad.
Hey, come here. Right. Look, for the record, Bailey, I did kill people in Iraq, in a battle. But I'm a soldier, and sometimes that's what soldiers have to do. What do you think about that?
Bailey shrugs his shoulders and Brian, from his crouching position, looks up at him intently. They start walking again.
There's a difference between that and being a murderer.
What is it?
Well, so I'm going to London today to talk about.
At the hearings venue, Phil bustles through a waiting area with a parquet floor and goes down a corridor into an office where Dina's reading some documents. He shuts the door behind him and hangs up his beige mag.
Who's up today?
Brian Wood and Chris Brew.
He notices that she's reading with concern.
What's that?
He approaches her and looks at the papers in her hands.
Who sent this?
The inquiry wanted an audit of evidence for disclosure from all the different teams. It's just turned up.
Turned up? From where? From our side?
Maybe it was at the bottom of a pile somewhere.
So the local warlord lists all Iraqi dead and detainees as his soldiers. Everyone there on the day. Shit.
If they were soldiers, not farmers, the inquiry won't believe anything else we say. Why didn't we know about this? We should have known about this. Phil!
Phil looks up at her open-mouthed.
For all we know, it's complete bullshit. It's propaganda put about by local Iraqi militia. It's turning them into martyrs. The judge will throw it out as irrelevant.
Will he? How can you know that?
Because Patrick will point them in that direction. It's obvious.
You told me a case is only as strong as its weakest evidence. This casts doubt on our witnesses.
I tell you what's not in doubt. They're a bunch of lads with Kalashnikovs that British troops threw 13,000 rounds at. That's what they are. Lads at breakfast, soldiers at tea time, lads again by bedtime, if they lasted that long. I'll brief Patrick.
Now Phil's pacing the waiting area, nervously tapping his thigh. Now he's sitting staring at the floor, rubbing his hands together. He glances to one side and then looks up when a door opens. Patrick's the last of a group of people coming through the door.
What do they say?
About the list? What do you think?
They're taking it at face value.
Inquiry's already underwhelmed by some of our witnesses, and it's on headed paper. It's got a bloody rubber stamp.
It was probably just a boast, not a fucking employment record. Our witnesses have most probably never even seen that list.
Yeah, shame we hadn't either.
It makes no difference. It makes no difference at all to the human rights issues. Makes no difference to what's important. It's one piece of evidence amongst a mountain of stuff.
It's not one piece, though, is it? It's part of a picture that's emerging, a picture that's not the one you wanted to see.
It doesn't mean that terrible things didn't happen that day, or that everything our witnesses say is lies.
I know that, Phil. But things like this, you start to look at best naive and at worst mendacious.
It came out of nowhere.
It came out of somewhere you didn't look.
After Patrick stormed out, Phil whips round and stares at Dina. Looking rattled, he grabs his coat and scarf and rushes out. As Phil comes outside onto the building steps, looking pensive, he finds that a small crowd has gathered. He casts his eyes downwards. Inside, a woman in a suit sits down next to a man who earlier had been fiddling with worry beads outside the hearing room. She whispers to him and shows him some documents. The woman gets up and leaves the bearded man sitting in the waiting area. He looks completely stunned.
Some evidence has just come to light. An official list from the local Iraqi militia. It clearly identifies all the dead and all the detainees as members of their armed group. It looks like they weren't just farmers, Brian.
Brian turns away and faces the window, leaning on the sill. His solicitor watches him with concern from across the room. Brian brushes his fingertips across his eyes, then turns to face her.
You know, my vehicle commander said at Danny Boy, when it was over, he said he didn't see the elders there. Didn't see the ones in charge. It's in these kids having flip-flops to fight us.
and sent them halfway around the world to fight us again in court. I mean, why are they when shit hits the fan?
Well, quite.
If these people want to go and make war a crime, that's up to them. But I didn't do anything to be ashamed of in Alamara. I fought for my country. And I'm proud of what I did. But not doing anything to be ashamed of doesn't stop me from feeling ashamed.
He bows his head. Phil's still standing on the outside steps as Dina comes down the sweeping marble staircase inside. Angrily, she tears her ID badge off its lanyard. She comes outside and lights a cigarette without saying anything to Phil, who's still looking shattered. They look at each other, finding no words to say. She takes a long drag on her cigarette and exhales. On hearing the voices, Phil looks up.
Who's that?
Brian Wood.
Brian passes Dina and Phil on his way into the hearing. In total, the Al-Sawidi inquiry heard 13 months of evidence. Brian's sitting in the waiting area, scratching his face and fiddling with his ID badge. The judge found that some British soldiers had mistreated some Iraqi detainees. He made recommendations on the treatment of prisoners and the preservation of evidence. The colored leaves are falling. However, on the major allegations of torture and unlawful killing, he cleared all British soldiers. He described those allegations as wholly without foundation.
Like a child speaking to a stranger.
A disciplinary tribunal into Phil Shiner's work revealed evidence of errors and misconduct. As a result, he was struck off.
Who's going to be there?
Lawyers, mainly. Some soldiers. People from Iraq.
Because you killed people.
Yeah, well, not just me. There's a lot of people who killed me.
When you've talked about it, then what?
Well, when I finish talking about it, and when I finish with being a soldier.
Ryan tickles Bailey under the chin, and the boy takes him by the hand. After clearing his name, Ryan Wood left the British Army.